Okay. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up, you got an itch or...
I am freezing right now. Look at that.
I believe I'm fine. Temperature seems to be just fine in here.
Sure.
It's
as long as you're okay.
It's all about me. Well, you know, the thing is, you complain about this every day, but it seems like you ought to just have a sweater or something you leave in the studio.
I ride my bike every day. I'm like,
you ought to leave. I rode my bike today. You ought to be leaving a sweater in here.
I know, but if I bring a sweater here, chances are I need it on the way home.
Don't you have more than one sweater?
Nope, I have a
sweater. You should have a studio sweater,
you
like
know
Mr.
That
Rogers.
I have a small bike bag, and I fit my lunch in there, and that's about all they'll
fit. I'm saying you ought to have a Mr. Rogers esque sweater that you just leave here that you put on when you come into the studio. It is.
Fine. We'll go shopping after the show, and you can buy me a Mr. Rogers sweater.
I've seen your closet. You don't need me to buy you an additional sweater. Now I sound like your boyfriend. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Breaking news. Panasonic will sell an $80,000 television set. This is going to be the world's largest, featuring a 103-inch screen.
Attention, Matt Peterson.
Now, that's before installation, the $80,000 fee. Panasonic is the brand name of products by a Japanese electronics giant, Mitsubishi. The set is 5 inches thick.
Okay.
So don't drop.
All right, so there you go. That's the other problem, is that if things become... Have you noticed this? As things become smaller and thinner, they become... You have to be more and more careful with them. Like, you know, that huge television like your parents used to have? It was like the huge piece of furniture. And
the one that was like the wooden box built around it?
And the handles that opened... Nothing! Nothing. Where it was just handles put on the front. We went through this era in American design where electronics doubled as furniture. You probably also had, well, maybe you didn't, but you, like my mom and dad for a while, and my grandparents for most of their life, my grandmother especially. It was sort of this big, it was like 50s hi-fi set that was huge. And I think it was supposed to service like, to double as like a buffet serving thing. And it was... I mean, it was like a big, it was shaped like an elongated coffin. And you would lift it up in sections, and like one section exposed the radio, and one section exposed. But man, it was huge, and that thing was so durable. I mean, a nuclear winter couldn't have destroyed that furniture. But it's like this phone, I got the Motorola Q, which is basically the size of one of those razors. It's the size of a small, thin pack of cards. Man, I live in fear of dropping this, because it'll just destroy the entire thing. So it is with those televisions. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for a very long Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch.
There's that. Kind of in charge, he's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our realm. That's my Bush.
Well, a student who sued school officials after he was made to censor his T-shirt that labeled President Bush, quote, chicken hawk in sheep, unquote, and a former alcohol and cocaine abuser, went on appeal yesterday to wear that shirt to school. This is for Zachary Giles, who, through his parents, you know, his parents are behind this,
of course,
claimed his free speech rights are being violated. School officials made him duct tape over parts of his T-shirt that showed a Bush image surrounded by cocaine, a razor blade, a straw, and a martini.
That's fantastic.
He goes to the Williamstown Middle School in Vermont.
Oh, how old is he?
Let's see. Does it say how old he is?
He's in middle school, right? So he couldn't be any older than 12. Okay, yeah. Because he's a high school student.
He's a seventh grader.
Ah, that's totally the mom and dad. Yeah, if it's a high school student, the odds are that it's probably the kid themselves doing this. Because the kid, here's the thing about it. Kids are, it's a lot harder to pick on kids from an administrative sense than it used to be. Because kids are very savvy now. No, they know that all you have to do is pick up the phone and call the ACLU. But when you're like, when you see a fourth grader, seventh grader, you know that that's some overzealous mom and dad. It's like that. Was it that in San Francisco, that third grade girl where the dad was all pissed off about the in God we trust, or under God, or whatever? You know, at a certain age, the kids start to think for themselves. Anything below that is just unfulfilled vicarious parenthood.
Well, the T-shirt read George W. Bush and chicken hawk in chief, with a picture of the president's face wearing a helmet superimposed on the body of a chicken. The back of the T-shirt showed lines of cocaine, a martini glass, a smaller print that accused Bush of being a crook, cocaine addict, AWOL, draft dodger, and lying drunk driver. The court agreed that the lower court had ruled Giles' suspension from school could be expunged from his record.
Fantastic. There you go.
From Britain comes word. They've put together a television program showing the assassination of President Bush. This is a docudrama made by Britain's Channel 4. It's set around October 2007. The president is assassinated as he leaves the Sheraton Hotel in Chicago. The death of a president shot in the style of a retrospective documentary looks at the effects of the assassination of Bush, which it has on America, in light on the war on terror. The 90-minute feature explores who would have planned the murder, with the Syrian-born man wrongly put in the frame. And this is being shown at the Toronto Film Festival in September.
Is this an actual... Oh, it's not a TV show. It's an actual film. The Toronto Film Festival is also... That's where the... I believe... I may be wrong about this, but I know we've got Michael Moore fans in the audience. I believe the Toronto Film Festival is where they're going to premiere at least part of that new Michael Moore documentary, which is called Sicko, which is all about the healthcare industry. So that I may or may not be wrong about that. So there you go.
Bush in Utah. A terrorist seek to turn back the advance of freedom and open up a new dark chapter of the world. That's the word from President Bush to the American Legion convention there.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Is this? Do we have sound here that I'm supposed to load?
Yes, we do.
Hold on one moment. And bam! All right, this is
Ted, you want veterans?
Cut one? Yeah.
Wow, it worked. Okay.
No, the day's not over. Let's not throw a party just yet. I'm sorry, do you want to reintroduce this?
Yes. He says, turning your back to the events of terrorism will open up a new dark chapter in the world.
No. God damn it. No. Sorry. That's...
These groups form the outlines of a single movement, a worldwide network of radicals that use terror to kill those who stand in the way of their totalitarian ideology.
That was hard to say.
Here's the thing about Bush is, you can hear, it is no secret, the president perhaps is not the world's most gifted orator.
I don't know. He says he read Shakespeare.
Okay.
He read three of the books already.
Is that like the little golden book version?
That's it.
The sort of pokey little puppy version? But the thing about Bush is, it's interesting to me, just as somebody who speaks a lot, and probably as you could hear the mechanics. For instance, you could hear him getting a running start at the words. Because you know, like when you're reading, like if you're doing any sort of public reading, your brain stores about half a sentence at a time that you say aloud while your eyes are scanning forward to see what the next part of the sentence is. And you can tell that he has trained his brain just to be on the lookout for large words. You know, just anything that's more than, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters long. And you can hear him sort of like, okay, it's like when you got a hurdle, like, there we go, right over it. Right as he gets towards totalitarian there.
The president says you will see disturbing images on TV from the war front.
The images that come back from the front lines are striking and sometimes unsettling. When you see innocent civilians ripped apart by suicide bombs or families buried inside their homes.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Meanwhile, Salt Lake City Mayor Runke Anderson blasted the administration in an emotional 40-minute speech at an anti-war rally in front of a crowd estimated to be 5,000. Wow, that's pretty good for Salt Lake. Anderson called Bush inhumane, callous, and spreading lies to justify dishonest ends. He returned repeatedly to the theme that the administration has lied to the people about the reasons for invading Iraq and virtually all issues connected with the war over the 3-year period. During the speech, he said that blind faith in bad leaders is not patriotism.
If we could do this in Salt Lake City, we're going to see it throughout this entire country, and the world is going to hear us. This is a new day.
Well, all right, then.
He also promoted family values.
Go, way to go, Rocky. All right.
That's the Bush
there
one.
You go. There's our
He's Bush the president, one. Resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
By the way, Sarah just informed me, somebody told us, well, I guess it's public knowledge. Did Brad know? Did he say where he heard that from?
Oh, I don't know. He didn't say that was for air.
Well, whatever. He presumably, where would he know it from? It's not like he has, does he have inside information?
Yeah. He finds out stuff. Remember when there was some unpleasantness here? He knew about it before we did.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
With the reordering of the sales staff? Some of the shuffling around
here.
Yeah,
I don't even know what you're referring to now.
Yeah, a few months ago. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, then.
And he's the one who told me about it. I'm like, what's going on?
All right. We should clarify what we're talking about now, since we're just speaking in half riddles that not even I really understand. So we had said earlier, we had somehow gotten, oh, it's soapbox derby. And I had made the observation that I believe the word on the street was that that Daria, who we love, we're fans of her, that Daria, who had been doing that show with the Doug, and I can't call a grown man. It's like a choice of evils over there. There's one grown man I'm expected to call Skippy.
I always think about Bush Kangaroo.
and another man whom I am expected to address as Dr. Doug. Yeah. So those two guys and Daria, we had heard that there was some division that had happened. There's splintering. They were leaving and she was staying, or she was leaving and they were staying. But the word we heard is that she is staying and they are going to, as they say,
have the job posting posted.
Oh, really? Is there an online? Are you a go-getter? Are you an excited? We should apply. Are you an excited and motivated individual?
Number one ranked multi-person afternoon drive show on 105.1 The Buzz in incredibly hip Portland, Oregon.
Ah, they don't say
partner
that.
Partner with market icon Daria O'Neill, female target audience.
Oh, do they really say? Is this the ad actually posted by Intercom?
Yeah.
Where did you get this from?
Radiotown.net. Stephen Cathy sent it to me.
Radiotown.net. Now, I will say this in advance that we're big fans of Daria. I like her quite a bit. I'm assuming, by the way, that she had nothing to do with this ad. One cannot place an ad referring to one's own hometown as incredibly hip, for one thing. Also,
what if it's Scranton?
incredibly hip Flint, Michigan. You will love our new spark. Also, one cannot refer to oneself as a market icon.
Well, they're looking, so pair with the market icon, and they need smart A-level talent and producers.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So the producer must have taken off then, too.
That's your Matt Peterson. Yet another promotion headed your way. That new TV is not going to buy itself. God damn. Radio sucks. All right, here's Tim Riley.
The hit comedy Little Britain, which is on BBC America, is about to be remade as an all-American show. But it's going to be on HBO because, well, they'd be fined $500,000 if they did the same thing on American TV as they do over there, which is not a problem at all. The search is on to find the urban American equivalent of the schoolgirl nightmare Vicki Pollard and a suitable deep south locale for the only gay in the village. The duo will work with American writers and Simon Fuller, the British entrepreneur who's behind Pop Idol, or American Idol here. We'll oversee the show.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. We should take a break here. We'll take a break, come back. We got Gary Baumgarten coming our way from New York City. Later on, we have Jim Roop, who's going to talk to us from Los Angeles. We have Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon. Week in Geek coming up. Top 10 Popeil Inventions and more from the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. You stay right there. Back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Week in Geek on the way later on. Senior radio correspondent Jim Roop. All right. Scotty J, who I think it may... Scotty J just came up
to... Quiznos.
He just came up to me excitedly in the hallway, and he held up like a fistful of Quiznos cards, which is... I've only got one more punch, and then I get a picnic. And then he sort of ran off. The thing about being in the suburbs is it just makes you amused by the dumbest things.
It is those little pleasures.
His whole life.
Gotta get Jay going.
His whole life is just centered around things that I couldn't possibly care less about. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City.
New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Our good friend, Gary Baumgarten, joining us now. How are you, sir?
Your voice is there, so I would say 100%.
The voice itself, I'm saying my voice is a 9. Mine said the voice is back at a 9 right now. Still a little bit of the sniffling going on, occasionally coughing a bit. Although I think part of that has to do with, I think some of the blame for my cough can be laid at the feet of the studio that I am in. I do believe
really?
That... I speculate. I do believe that, what's the word? That they don't clean the studio ever. And that it was not cleaned at all before we moved in. I was just speculating on that. So, in any event, how's life, sir? How are things? How is it to be out of Boulder, Colorado?
Oh, Boulder's beautiful, but it's a nice day here, except it's going to be raining our Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, well.
That storm coming up this enjoy it today.
What are you going to do? Well, you know what? Here's the thing is, I mean, did you have like a one-day turnaround when you went to Boulder? Did they literally send you out? You weren't there more than 48 hours, were you?
No. I went Friday and relieved Ed McCarthy, and then I spent the weekend cooling my heels in beautiful Colorado and getting paid for it. So it was fine.
Well, I got to tell you, I was talking to Roop, and just the whole idea that they're going to ship this nitwit back to Los Angeles, and Roop is going to—you can hear in his voice just the sort of slumping of the shoulders and the sort of groaning at the idea that he's going to have to talk about that guy for the next 6 months or whatever. So I believe he is not happy to have that on his plate, but
probably not.
What are you going to do?
Probably not.
What are you going to do? Well, let's talk about our new best friends who Iran. And correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, let me ask you this. This guy, Iran, and I'm not going to pretend that I know more than I do here, but Iranian President Mahmoud, whatever the hell his name is, am I wrong about this? Or did we, it seems like we never really heard of this guy until about 6 months ago. And I don't know whether world leaders and sort of crazy dictators get jealous of one another in terms of who's getting the attention and who's not. But I never heard of this guy who runs Iran. And now suddenly he's in the news like every week saying something crazy. He's sort of this year's Muammar Gaddafi.
Right. And the thing is, one does not know whether it's all hyperbole playing for the attention or whether he really intends to wipe Israel, for example, off the face of the earth. The thing is, he clearly is not interested in adhering to any of the United Nations resolutions. And so since he didn't adhere to the first one, the likelihood is that economic sanctions aren't going to make him capitulate. And so he'll probably develop his nuclear arsenal unless the United States and Great Britain want to go in there and start another war. But we already saw how successful the war in Iraq was, so do we really want to get involved in another front like that over this?
Well, and that was, I mean, the war in Iraq was against a country that basically was just the whole country was being run on an abacus, and dirt.
Right.
I mean, there was just nothing. But these, I mean, Iran, though, they're not screwing around. They got, like, actual real weapons over there.
Right. And so, do you really want to go against them? Now, I talked to an expert today who suggested that we're back to the old Cold War days of assured destruction, mutual self-destruction,
right,
whatever they called it.
Assured destruction.
Yes, that's it. But the issue is not so much, Rick, holding Iran in check like that, like if they were to lob a nuclear weapon at Tel Aviv, then Israel and the United States would just, eliminate Iran. Okay, fine. Maybe that holds them in check. But what's to stop them, this expert suggested, from exporting, as they did to Hezbollah, conventional weapons, nuclear weapons to terrorists.
Yeah.
Now we have a whole different ballgame because they don't care.
Yeah, no, see, well,
and retaliation.
It is a little tricky when we're trying to negotiate with. There's only so much leverage you can have over a guy that really doesn't care if he gets blown into little tiny bits because he thinks that's what God wants him to do anyway.
But maybe he thinks the next life is better than the current one, not only for him, but for all of his people, so maybe he doesn't care.
Well, it does seem like at some point we're just going to have to be zen with the fact that we're going to live in a world where every third guy has some a nuke in a suitcase out back somewhere.
Well, I think that, I don't think it's going to be every third guy, but I think, all it takes is one or two to cause a lot of problems, and that's the issue. You can't keep an eye on everybody 24/7.
Well, it's a good thing that we're...
potentially might want to do the West harm.
It's a good thing that we're focusing on all the important countries right now. Uh-huh. So, all right. All right, my friend, we will talk to you. Let me ask you this is a question. Do they have, in New York City radio, do they have that, what is that? Well, it's like, they call it sometimes, like here it's the Charlie format, or the Jack format. You know what it is? It's the...
They got rid of
a bunch of crap on Shuffle
here, which was a great oldie station, and they put in
That's,
I think they called it Jack, I think.
That's right. They got They got rid of the Cousin Bruce Morrow station there.
Yeah.
That was
right.
Was that a CBS? That was a CBS station, I believe.
Yes, WCBS.
Of course, that's right. I didn't hear you mention the callers. Yeah, but the Cousin Brucey, that was the CBS. So they got rid of that and they put in the Jack. How's that doing there? How are people feeling about that?
It's doing very poorly in the ratings.
That's hard to believe. I'm stunned.
I guess in some markets it seems to be doing well, but in New York I think it's a little bit more of a more sophisticated of an audience, and they're not going to go for that.
Here's where that format works well. That format works well in markets where there's a lot of industrial accidents and people don't have hands to change the dial. So just,
well, the thing is, the problem with the format, in my opinion, I don't know how we got onto this, is that they may play something that you like, but then they're going to play something that you don't like because everybody has their own taste.
Really?
Know? No, it's, that's why we go to stations that have certain music formats.
It's true. Well, they do that whole Jack or Charlie or whatever the hell, you know, whatever the format is wherever you live. That's part of the marketing appeal of that is what they call in radio. They call them train wrecks, and a train wreck is where you play like Gordon Lightfoot into Guns N' Roses, and that's supposed to be the appeal of it. But to me, and that's like sort of, I don't know, that's like having a wife who cooks like a fantastic meal one day, and then the next day just like serves you a rat, you know, and you're just sort of, and I'm supposed to be intrigued by the variety. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right, Gary Baumgarten, my friend, enjoy the rest of your New York afternoon. We will talk to you soon.
Have a good Labor Day weekend if I don't talk to you before.
There you go, sir. Thank you. Gary Baumgarten live in New York City. All right. Should I be taking whatever this is? Sarah had to screen a call for a moment because Scotty was gone.
I can't even remember whether or not, like, what calls, like, how to do the process anymore.
Hello, Rick Emerson Show. What's your name? And then they say,
well, this
my
lady,
name is Trevor.
This lady, Julie, wants to talk about Timnasium, how she listened to it this weekend.
The Timnasium.
And he really needs some help.
Did anybody here listen to the No,
because I guess he was having some kind of therapy session or something. He was telling a really depressing story.
Tim is a, Tim is a layered young man.
And she said it was really good, except for when it was really depressing.
It would be wrong of me to make any wisecracks at this juncture. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. We'll get Julie here in a second. We'll talk to Scotty J in a moment, who's redeeming his Quiznos coupons. That's, I'm one punch away from a picnic. Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
Well, captured polygamous leader Warren Jeffs waived extradition during a court hearing in Vegas this morning. He's being held without bail after being arrested by a Nevada Highway Patrol officer during a routine traffic stop. His sister, Elaine, says her brother wanted to create a perfect people.
Well, I don't know what he was trying to accomplish with having that many wives. That wasn't necessary, but his
yes, I can't imagine. crazy
with everything.
Here's the thing about that. A, it doesn't really seem like the motivation for having 15 wives is all that deep or hard to discern. B, I'm no geneticist, but it does seem like if your goal is to create a whole race of perfect people, perhaps having a small group of people that all have sex with each other over and over again for many generations is probably, that might not be the smoothest road toward that destination. I'm just saying. Thank you. Yes, if you'd like your kids to have flippers and mental problems, you can go just hump away. Let's see. Julie, you're on the, hump away is the phrase of the day, by the way. Julie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Mr. Rickman, how are you?
I'm fine, Julie. How can I assist you today?
You can assist me today. I was telling Sarah that I would listen to the Timnasium accident on Saturday.
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that. I was looking for a different program and was unable to find it, and I was forced to endure hours at the Timnasium instead.
Yeah, actually, it was quite painful because
okay.
It was just, I mean, for a short period of time, actually it was a long period of time because I had to go shopping and I came back and he was still talking about it. And that was, he was talking about a sex life and not having sex until he was 22.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the bad part was that his parents oppressed him so much that he thought he thought he would burn in hell if he had any sexual contact whatsoever.
It is true. Now here's the thing. I actually listened to that same, that was this last weekend, and I was actually here because I am a loser with no life. I was in my office, and here's the thing. If you've heard him talk before, Tim Savage, who does Timnasium Saturdays, 4 to 6, he was homeschooled. His parents yanked him out of public school when he was in, I think, 7th grade.
Right.
And they homeschooled him. Didn't let him go out, didn't let him do anything, didn't let him have any contact with anybody else, blah, blah, blah. And just complete nutcase parents. And I've said that because he has said that. This is his estimation, that they were crazy. And so he did not know the sweet, tender love of a woman until he was 22.
Well, the hard part is, or a difficult thing to listen to was, okay, I finally went into therapy and things are barely getting back into the way they should be, but his brother is still tormented by all this. It's like, guy, you know, where's the humor? I mean, talk about either the love or talk about all the great things about sex or, you know, talk about what crazy parents you had and move on.
And yet you listened.
Yeah. Well, I did for a little bit and then I cut it off and came back in and he was still talking about it. So I had to turn it off again. And then I got back and he started talking about happy hour and that was pretty good.
Okay. Where the hell are the dancing cats? I'm sorry. All right. Well, Julie, I will I'll pass your observations along to the gymnasium.
You can help him out.
Okay.
I will
mold him like so much wet sauerkraut. Thank you, Julie.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go. That's it. Tim Savage, the gymnasium, 4 to 6. Not a bad show this weekend, actually. That guy is pretty funny. No, he's the first to tell you. Well, I like, listen, he doesn't talk about the gymnasium all the time, but I turned in like 3 weeks ago, and he did this opening monologue that consisted of, well, I've been taking Prozac for the last 3 years, and I quit last week, and then my friend died the next day, and my grandmother has Alzheimer's, so it's going to be a bit of an up and down program today. And at that point, you just sort of, the guy is really funny, but there are sort of moments where that show does have a bit of a darker texture to it. Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the left. It's Tim Riley.
Well, the state of Michigan has been traditionally used as a place to dump Canada's trash. That is coming to an end by the year of 2010, thanks to the work of U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow.
I'm Debbie Stabenow.
It is not something that can be challenged in court, and it is basically a good faith agreement.
I don't understand.
There'll be no more dumping of Canadian trash in Michigan.
Oh, I thought you meant trash. Like, I thought you were speaking in a euphemism, like when
no,
they put, like, how
real trash, like
England,
throw away in the trash.
Like England put their prisoners in a... I don't understand. Is there just, like, a fence there? Like over this side, people just dump it over there in Michigan. How does Canada dump their trash in Michigan?
I guess they had a treaty for trash signed many years ago that they could just come over the border.
Oh, so they're not just doing it at night.
No.
Like I do with my neighbors. Okay. Because there's sort of a domino effect, and you probably don't have this... But there's probably a domino effect that happens there where, like on my block, I have these persons unknown that use my trash. And it's always bizarre to go to your own trash can to put something in and you see things there that clearly do not belong to you. It's just like endless Mickey's wide mouth bottles. You know what I mean?
So we're not allowed to leave our trash bins outside.
Oh, no. See, I screw that whole taking it back by the house when it's not trash. I just leave mine on the curb all week long.
Oh, no. We'd be fine.
Oh, you belong to a homeowners association.
Yes.
Certain colors that you are allowed to paint your house.
Yes.
You can't put like a polka dot thing in the front. All right. Well, see, there are no such standards in my neighborhood because no one could possibly meet them. There's that. Like, I know that some folks, they put their trash cans out on the curb on trash day and then they put them back by the garage and try to be all fancy. And I figure I'm just going to have to put them back out on the curb in a few days anyway. So why not just leave them there? But and plus, it makes it easier for the rummagers when they come by. I got the gleaners. You know what I mean? The guy who come by and he's pushing the cart and he's got the full-on, he's got the Castro beard. And he's in there just kind of sorting through and, you know, whatever, like a woodchuck. But I'll go out there occasionally and the trash is full of stuff that I clearly have not used. Just items that don't belong to me, like a big Pampers thing. And so then I, in turn... And you do kind of wonder how far this spreads, because there's some people presumably down the street are using my trash and filling it up, so then I have to take my trash, and I always have to do it after dark, because I have to go next door to this apartment complex where there's a huge dumpster. But the thing is, the people at the apartment complex next door keep all kinds of odd hours, like where a lot of cars show up and stay for 5 minutes, and then some guy will run out with a paper sack, and then the guy will speed off into the night. So I have to time it to when those guys are not around, because I don't want to be shot in the face. So, but, like, I'll go over and just take the dumpster and, you know, just slide this up and slam the dumpster down and try to slink back off into the night. So I guess so it is with Michigan and Michigan and Canada.
I mean, you never know what you're going to find in a dumpster. At a next-door neighbor...
A head.
Yes, whose son was an alcoholic Mormon, and he committed suicide.
Oh,
so
sorry.
They put all his belongings into a dumpster. So I had a visitor come over who spotted all these things in a dumpster, so he pulled them all out and brought them back up and set them right outside the door. Look at all this neat stuff somebody just threw away in the dumpster.
Will a little cheer take this blood out? Good God. That's unnerving.
Yeah.
Speaking of unnerving, Rick, that Delana soundbite is so creepy. She sounds like... A wounded beast being forced to copulate.
Please, that's messed up.
Please keep playing it. All right. I am now announcing a Rick Emerson contest. Right now, I have nothing to give away, by the way, but I'll find something. Here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to announce this now, and then we'll do this. We'll play these in, like, I don't know, a few days. We're going to announce a Rick Emerson contest right now. I want somebody, we'll take submissions. I'll put a finer point on this as the day goes on. But I think we ought to have a contest where the audience uses this sound. Jesus. And where you just have to insert that into some sort of 60-second radio play, montage, collage. You just got to make that sound. It's like a Photoshop contest, you know, like a fart kind of a thing. But it's sort of an audio editing contest. Take that, where the only element you must use is that Delama cry. And you just work it into something. Work it into some larger piece, some larger structure of a thing. You send that our way. I'll come up with more rules for that later on, but that's a fantastic idea. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Ben, police have arrested a driver accused twice of visiting a coffee stand while naked from the waist down. 37-year-old Gary Harding of Bend has been arraigned on public indecency and stalking charges. The stock accusations were for having repeated contact with a 16-year-old girl working at the coffee stand. He returned this week fully clothed, and the girl called police. Officers stopped Harding before he could leave. He explained that his wife had once removed his pants before the couple visited the drive-through window. He said he wanted to try it again. His bail is set at $30,000.
Was that here?
No, this is in Bend.
Oh.
Officers found women's underwear during the search of his vehicle. He told them he likes wearing his current wife's underwear.
Well, all right, there you go. I would not want to be a barista because, you know, there's a special... This is a thing I've noticed, actually, that in the last, I don't know, the rise of the sort of specialty coffee shop, which is, I don't know, the last 10 years or so, there is now this whole new class of women for guys to ogle, and it's the barista girl, because especially Starbucks, because Starbucks always kind of hires the same type of girl. You know, there's sort of a look to the Starbucks coffee girl, and it's always the same guy ogling her. It's always some, like, 42-year-old white business guy that's got, like a salmon-colored tie and a briefcase. And he always stops in there and tries. And I'm always behind that guy, too. I'm always at, like, a coffee people. Behind some guy who sells, like, mutual funds as he's trying to pick up on the 21-year-old girl who's making him a latte. It's all very disturbing.
Radio Shack notified 400 workers by email today that they're being dismissed.
Bada-bing!
Employees at the Fort Worth headquarters got messages saying, the workforce reduction notification is currently in progress. Unfortunately, your position is one that has been eliminated.
Really?
Yeah. They're going to get 400 to 450 jobs. Well, they closed nearly 500 stores.
That's
nobody really shops here anymore.
That's got no rate. People don't actually.
Well, I went there to buy some cables one day, and I was remarking to the clerk, I mean, these a cable, you know, a foot long is $12. And they go, well, that's fairly outrageous. And she goes, you know what? Let me tell you, we can get one for a quarter of that size. She gave me the address of a cable store, and sure enough, I bought the same Radio Shack cable selling for $12 for $1.50 at this store that only sells cables.
Way to keep your own business afloat. No, it's true, and you know what the problem with Radio Shack is?
And they sell things from like the 1970s, like Princess phones.
Would you like some rabbit ears for your television?
Exactly.
No, that's true. Here's the thing about Radio Shack, is that Radio Shack... We were talking earlier about the CNN remembering what made them famous and successful. Radio Shack has forgotten. Here's what makes Radio Shack. Here's what made them what they are. It is selling cables, adapters, couplers, clips, and wires to guys like Tim, myself, and Will, and Sean in engineering. That's what it is, man. I cannot tell you how much money I have spent in Radio Shacks over my lifetime. How many hours I have spent there because... And it was always when I was like a 17, 18, 19-year-old guy living on my own, and I had like some cheap stereo that I bought at Goodwill. And it's like, and everybody's seen that stereo that the guy has, the guy who is 19 years of age. And it's right there by the coffee table. And the coffee table is just a sheet of plywood and three, like some cinder blocks. And you're trying to make, I remember when I ramped up too, I had the cinder block coffee table in my living room, you know, for when chicks come over. And it's cinder blocks and a door. It was a door I found laying outside of the street. It was so badass. Like, in a way, it was one of those things that Like, if you lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan and had that, people would think you were unbelievably stylish. Oh, cinder blocks with a door on top. You are so, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody would think, that is fantastic. Let me have my friend from the New Yorker come over. But, of course, man, I was just a hick. And so I had these cinder blocks with a door on top, and then eventually I upgraded. I didn't have the door. I had a big piece of glass that I got for, like, $4. Like a Home Depot, and so it was cinder blocks, which I then spray painted black with a big piece of glass, you know, and then I would array my magazines. I would fan the magazines out stylishly, so when a woman would come over, because women are never impressed by the things that guys think they're going to be impressed by, and so we just put all of our time into these stupid little. Well, we really should do a whole seminar sometime. We will not do that today, but we should do a whole seminar sometime on what guys think women are impressed by and what women really are impressed by. Because I would take all the time in the world getting my huge pile of Playboy and Rolling Stone magazines and arranging them in order, like chronologically, and then fanning them out on top of my coffee table made out of a door and some cinder blocks, thinking that would somehow distract them. You know what I mean? And it's like getting out of a burn unit and wearing a festive bow in your hair and thinking that it sort of balances everything out. But I had the guy stereo system. And the guy stereo system, tell me if this sounds familiar. It's the big, huge receiver, probably full of tubes, that I got at like a Value Village for $4.99. A huge dial, and in the back it's just endless wires and plugs and grounding things that don't make any sense. And it's got the weird glowing blue dial that you've just got the knobs where you tune. And then just a bunch of mismatched speakers that I got from all over the store. And then endless, endless, endless miles of Radio Shack cable. And, of course, guys, there's no problem that a Radio Shack Y splitter can't fix. You know what I mean? Well, 1-2 RCA. Bam, you put it right in the back.
But they're $30 now.
That's the thing. And here's why they're $30. A, because they're feeling the pinch on the one hand from, like, a local store, such as Super Digital, 503-228-2222. Or Fry's, the big box store. Radio Shack caught in the middle. Here's the other problem with Radio Shack. Radio Shack doesn't realize, and don't, God love them. I mean, I spent a lot of time there. Radio Shack doesn't realize that they're for the economy shopper. They're for the guy that has $4 and needs to get 100 feet of wire to string something through his house. And Radio Shack had this idea that they were going to cover everything in gold. That was this was the decline of Radio Shack. Would you? No. Well, why is this 6-inch cord $70? Well, it's gold plated, sir. You're going to find and you're going, I live in a crack house. I just need something so I can, so this will work. I just need something so I can run a speaker into the bathroom. You know, but everything is covered in gold, and everything has got some weird shielding on it, and it costs more than lobster. So there you go. And so forth. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, well, Bon Jovi continues to be embraced by the country music community, whatever that would entail. The band is a contender for the 40th Annual Country Music Awards. The New Jersey Rockers are in the running for the musical event of the year, whatever that means, with the song Who Says You Can't Go Home. It's a duet with Sugarland's Jennifer Nettles. The CMA nod becomes the third time Bon Jovi has been formally recognized by the country music industry. That sounds...
And we're at the end of the story. Rick, the Charlie FM truck is right now at the Hollywood Fred Meyer, giving out cheap gifts and annoying everyone. I walked over and I said, quote, "Your intercom, right?" She said, "Yes." I then turned and walked away. The truck is in the area where the old ladies put groceries in their cars. The truck had a pod of them talking to the poor minion there. Sad, really. Well, that's from Steve. We have verification. Well, it's posted somewhere anyway. It's out there, so we're not revealing anything. So the word is, because we were talking about our friend Daria, who I both like and respect, but who I haven't listened to in a long time, because that would require listening to The Buzz, which isn't going to happen. But Daria, until recently, was doing the afternoon show with Dr. Doug and Skippy, and I said that I'd heard that there had been a bit of a paring down over there. There had been a bit of a splintering where that show had apparently fallen apart at the seams. So I guess the word is, I'm not saying that this is true, but neither is this inside information. This is something that is out there on the street, as they say. So what do we hear? That Daria is staying because they posted a job for it, a thing.
Yep.
Which, you know, so they posted it, and then Dr. Doug and Skippy are going where? They're going to Charlie?
So it seems.
So the rumor is?
Yes.
All right.
Sometimes they're actually going to have DJs over there.
I thought that they weren't ever going to have DJs. I thought they let the music do the talking. I thought they let their 250-song catalog say all that needed to be said. God, I can't figure out who's being demoted there. I really can't. Really, one half of that equation is just taking a serious slap in the face. I'm pretty sure it's them, but I'm not really sure about that. I'm not entirely positive. Let's get this. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Chris, the beer guy.
Hey, what's up, brother?
I used to work at the Rat Shack when I was in college.
Oh, Radio Shack, yes.
Yeah, the markup on those cables was horrible. We had the digital optical, which was selling between $30 and $40.
Digital optical, which no one needs. A cable that no one needs.
$2.60.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And the other thing that Radio Shack will do is that Radio Shack, they will stock every part except the one you actually... I honestly believe that this is true. That Radio Shack will identify the most frequently used part, which is, for example, the one to do the female-to-male, like double Y, the RCA splitter. And then they will just under-order that product to keep you coming back over and over again because they know that a typical guy, like, let's say, one of the engineers who will go in there, what do you need? I need a Y splitter. Ooh, but I'll get this soldering gun while I'm in here. And they know that you will go in and you... And Tim totally nailed it. What Tim noted... That not unlike the comic book, the comic strip page in the newspaper, Radio Shack seems to exist in this permanent 1968, where it's like, what is this? Well, it's a huge thing with fake wood grain that sits on top of your television.
Here are some remote-controlled toys.
Totally. That's the other thing. And I know you don't work there anymore, but for the love of sweet holy God, for the love of zombie Christ, could you get rid of the one-third of the Radio Shack that is given over to toys that no one is playing with? There are no children in the store. There's no one there to play with the toys. But instead, there's three robotic cats running around, usually at least partially broken, making all sorts of whirring and screeching sounds. It really is like the dead walking the earth in there.
Well, in their brand name, realistic. It's not really real, but it's almost there.
That's the other thing. Does Radio Shack still sell realistic stuff?
I believe so. That's their brand name.
No, they have two. No, wait, hold on. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. There are actually three Radio Shack store names. They're sort of the Craigmont. There is Realistic, which is not. There is Audiovox. That is Radio Shack, is it not?
No, it's not. Audiovox is a different brand.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's just I think it's...
It's just bad.
I'm not sure who it is. It's just... I think it's a generic brand.
And then there is... And then there's Optimus. Optimus
is
a
realistic.
That's one of those. Well, everybody has a problem with our substandard merchandise. Let's change the name, and then suddenly everything that was realistic brand. Because you would, and I would try to be cool in high school. Like all my friends would have the Alpine stereo, then the Kenwood stereo. Get in my car. How do you feel about a realistic sound? You know, and it's like to Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. You're trying to hawk a Casio. It didn't really work. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's Chris. When we come back, thank you. When we come back, what shall we talk about? Well, we've got Rockstar Recap we'll do. And Scotty J will tell us what they told him at Mount Hood Community College about the exciting format known as Charlie FM. Also, Week in Geek coming up. Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon. Top 5 and so forth. You stay there. It's the mighty Freddie Mercury. Don't go anywhere.
Time to make your miserable life slightly more interesting. This is Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Here's what's happening tonight. If you want to head to the Crystal Ballroom, go see Atmosphere and Brother Ali, along with a lot of other DJs and whatnot playing. That starts around 9 o'clock. There will be a relatively pricey cover for that. If you want to head to the Doug Fir, that's at 8th and East Burnside, go check out Nick Jaina, Holcomb Waller, Music Population Orchestra, all playing beginning at 9 o'clock. That is $7 for that show. It is 21 and over. The Hawthorne Theater, that's on the corner of 39th and Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Paramore, Cute Is What We Aim For, Hit the Lights, and This Providence are all putting on a show beginning at 9:30. At Holocene at 10th and Morrison, Les Paul More Rock Party is going on featuring Alan Singley and Pants Machine, along with DJ Multiply at Rock and Roll Pizza, Spoken, House of Heroes. The finalists and the new ending are putting on a show at Sabala's Mount Tabor Thursday night. Dharma Engine is playing for a small cover. The Tonic Lounge is hosting the Senators, Blue Skies for Black Hearts, and The Smoke. That starts around 10 o'clock. And if you want to head to the Wonder Ballroom, go check out The Gossip, Micah Mako, and Swan Island. That begins around 9 o'clock. I'm a big fan of The Gossip. If you want to go check out a new good band, go to the Wonder Ballroom. All right, that's all I've got for you for tonight. If you see me out and about, be sure to buy me a vodka soda, extra large.